Welcome, friends. Thank you for joining us in what we're calling a conspiracy of goodness. Playing guitar, singing songs, recalling the stories of America, our people, brothers and sisters, is Larry Long. I'm Tom Thibodeau. We are friends, and for the last 40 years, through our friendship, we've been committed to the common good, serving a greater good, and it's certainly wonderful that you've all joined us.
Every time I look at someone, they're related to me. I never spent a Christmas at home. Both of my parents died, went to government school, an orphan at the age of five. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Every time I look at someone, they're related to me.
Elie Wiesel, 1986 Nobel Peace Prize laureate, the moral conscience of the 20th century, the author of Night, came to La Crosse, Wisconsin, and spoke to over 1,800 people, and he said this: in a moral society, there is no other. In a moral society, we are all brothers and sisters, and we realize that what we do to each other, we do to ourselves. Martin Buber, the great Jewish philosopher, talked about how we treat each other as I, thou. The I, thou. The thou and me bows to the God in you. We can treat each other as I, it, but when we treat each other as objects, we also dehumanize ourselves. Hello, brother. Hello, sister. We are community together.
In the fall, they rounded us up. Brothers, sisters, and friends, 9 months in boarding school before coming back home again. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Every time I look at someone, they're related to me. On Christmas, the family came, a bag of candy and toys, to hear the children sing a song of Christmas joy. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Every time I look at someone, they're related to me.
We all need someone to belong to, knowing that being with them is coming home. Who are the people that we feel at home with? Where is it that we are most at home? Where is it that we belong? Community is the hunger of the human heart for a place to call home, for people to be at home with. Brothers and sisters, all are relation.
After school, I got TB, had lung surgery. Children 1, 2, 3, Santa Claus has nothing on me. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Every time I look at someone, they're related to me.
There are two types of community that we all belong to. We have a primary community, those people who love us unconditionally and would tell us if they could. Our parents and grandparents, those who have died and gone beyond us, the ancestors, if you will. Death does not end a relationship. Our primary community transcends time and place, and so we long for people and are in communion with them even in their absence. We know each other by our presence and by our absence, and that's where community is born. But there's also the community that's secondary. Our friends, strangers, those people that we are with at any given time or place. How important it is for those who do not have a primary community that those in the secondary community, a company of strangers, still reach out and treat them, welcome them, and help them belong as if they were a brother or a sister.
I belong to the Eagle Clan. Tell stories of when I was you. Baptized as a child, now teach Ojibwe in school. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Every time I look at someone, they're related to me. Every time I look at someone.
Wasn't that beautiful? Larry Long has spent his life going into communities, honoring people, deeply listening to them, listening to their stories, and then with the work of children and other members of the community, transcribing their stories and songs into a concert where the community comes together and celebrates each other. Larry spent some of his growing up in St. Louis Park, which is the same hometown as Thomas Friedman. Thomas Friedman is a journalist for the New York Times and has a marvelous book called Thank You for Being Late. And in that book, Friedman reminds us that all of us must learn to live in the eye of the hurricane. What's in the eye of the hurricane? Calm, still, quiet. We must learn to live in the eye of the hurricane and draw energy from the storm, so that we can be dynamic and stable and responding to the lives of each other. And then he goes on to say, the best analog I have for the eye of the hurricane is a healthy community where people feel protected, respected, and connected. Protected, respected, and connected as a son or a daughter, as a brother or sister, as a friend, a place we all call home.
Yeah, the song I was singing at the start of this time that we're together right now, Tom, and it is so great to see you again, it was a song written for an elder named Clara Beebe from La Couderay community of Wisconsin, from the Anishinaabe Ojibwe Nation. And Tom Friedman, he just grew up down the block from me, actually. And there's a tree my father and I planted that's still standing right there in St. Louis Park on 31st and Hampshire. The tree in the backyard of the house where I once lived was planted by my father and I when I was a kid. It was but a sapling, but now it's 60 foot tall. Giving shade to the greenhouse in the corner by the park. Walking with my father after school in the dark. You're my favorite son, my dad laughed, but Dad, I'm your only one. Oh, the eyes of my father, they're looking down on me.
Isn't it an amazing experience to be your father's son? And on a very special night over 30 years ago, you and I were together. And it was a men's retreat, if you remember, and you came down. And we were playing songs, And my dad came with my brother, and he had just written the story of his life. Had taken a course in memories and memoirs. At age 70, went back to school and wrote his life story. And he brought his book down, and it was a group of 40 men, and he began to read, and he began to cry. And he said, "I'm not afraid of crying, and neither should any of you. It's healing. It's healthy. It's part of being a man." And toward the end of the evening, I asked my father this question, "Dad, what did you want to tell us about being a man?" And my dad said to me, but in front of all of us gathered, he said, "You know, I've done things that have been hurtful to you and your mom and our family, my friends, and I knew you'd do some of the same things. So I tried to teach you to be gentle, kind, and polite, so that when people needed to forgive you, they'd find it just to be a little bit easier." Kind and gentle and polite. A father's legacy to a son who hopes to be a man.
His hair was red and curly, not a wrinkle in his pants. Had a way of talking that made everybody laugh. He taught me how to fish and how to play baseball. Sold coffee for a living, chain smoking cigarettes. The suits that he wore, he had them tailored by the best. He looked like a million, though we just made ends meet, that's all. Oh, the eyes of my father, they're looking down on me.
So we have these primary communities where we have our fathers, but we also had other men who helped raise us. We were also part of a secondary community where people took an active interest in us. And one of those people for me was John Gilardi, football coach at St. John's University and College of Minnesota. I would like to say that I played for him, but that would be an overstatement. I was on the team. But a place to belong while I was in college is on that football team where there are 100 other young men who got a chance to dress for home games. John died 2 years ago, and his daughter wrote his eulogy. Never wrote about his wins or losses, never won, talked about his national championships or the All-American football players he coached. What she said in lieu of memorials, just do what John did effortlessly. Love your spouse. Listen intently to others. Look for the good in other people each and every day. John Gilardi coached 6,000 boys who have grown up to become gentlemen.
You know, I think all of us men, as we move from our childhood into manhood, we really need other mentors in our life, like him, to help guide us through. Because as we all know by now in our life, we've been through a bit, and it's through the encouragement of those men who've embraced us and took us in that gave us some strength and understanding and some wisdom. And my grandfather, Arthur Veach, was that to me when my father passed away when I was 12. And my grandpa Veach, he was a coal miner in Missouri. He had to quit school in sixth grade in order to work in the coal mines to help make money for his mom and his brothers and sisters. And then worked his way up into Des Moines, Iowa, where he became a fish peddler and started the East Side Fish Market in Des Moines, Iowa. And that's where I was born. And when my grandpa died, my grandpa Veach took me under his wing. When I was young, I had a pretty bad stammer and a stutter, and it got the best of me quite often. And my grandpa Veach would take me aside and go, "Larry, Moses stuttered, and look what he brought to the people." And Grandpa, he became a poet. I mean, besides being this working class guy that ran a family business that we all worked in, he wrote poetry. And one of his poems was, "When does one grow old? When eyes grow dim? When does one grow old? When hair gets thin? Is one old when they can't admit they're wrong? Is one old when they can't find joy in a song? When is one old, my friends, I say, when one can't dream of a better day? And that's from my grandpa, Arthur Veach. Sing you a verse to a song I wrote for him. Grandpa sold fish for 40 years or more, peddling fish on street corners, going door to door. Out of four sons to have joined him, small market on the east side. That's where you found my grandpa, his children side by side. He sold carp, shrimp, and bullheads, catfish, and walleye. Right there I watched him when he laid it down in the deep fry. If you weren't feeling good when you first walked into their store, felt a whole lot better, for you went walking out the door. Ain't no point in complaining, always best to share a smile. Do what you can for other people, always take the time to talk with folks a while.
Isn't it amazing now, I think about and sing about Arthur Veach, that you and I have become grandpas. You and I are now elders in that conspiracy of goodness. Last weekend, my two granddaughters came to visit, 5 and 3, Ellie and Addie. It's the first time in their lives that they've had to sleep in the same bed. My oldest granddaughter, who's 5, thought that this was camping, sleeping in the same bed. She's never had to do that before. And so she came up and she was ready for bed in her jammies, and she hugged me and said, "Good night, Papa, I love you." I said, "Good night, Ellie, I love you, sweet dreams." And then her aunt asked her, "And Ellie, what do you think you'll dream about tonight?" And she turned around and she said, "I can't dream with a sister in my bed." And of course we laugh, but there's always wisdom in children, isn't it? Who is it that gets in the way of our dreams? Who's preventing us from dreaming? And what is our role as elders in the conspiracy of goodness? To make room in the community for the dreams of children, for it's the hope of all humanity.
Every time I look at someone, they're related to me. You know, really, every child is our child. In the eyes of every child I've ever seen, I see my children. And now my two grandchildren, of which I just received word a few days ago, I got a third one coming. And I think that's what Clara Beebe meant when she said to those children on Le Couture in that school that day, she said, "Every time I look at someone, they're related to me." And on behalf of Tom, Thibodeau, and myself, we just want to thank you for all that you do.
And friends, pax et bonum, peace and all good, until we meet again.
You have been listening to Conspiracy of Goodness with Larry Long and Tom Thibodeau, produced and recorded by Brett Hoos. For more information about Larry and Tom, please visit www.larrylong.org and www.tomttalks.com. We look forward to being with you next week. Thank you for listening.